Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
Praying in Jesus' name means coming in prayer on the basis of Jesus' merit, not ours. Christ's full name is the Lord Jesus Christ, which means Jehovah, the Savior, God's anointed. That is the name of the one whose merit we depend on for access to God. We cannot think in any way that God will hear us because of our virtue. We cannot come to Him in our own name. As the opening verse of the Sermon on the Mount tells us, poverty of spirit is the basis upon which we come to Him. If we come to Him in poverty of spirit, relying on Christ and not ourselves, we can expect our prayers to be answered. The second requirement of praying in Jesus' name is that we must pray in correspondence with Christ's character and objectives. Praying in Christ's name is His saying to ask anything in His nature. This simply means that we are to ask for what Christ would want, not just our own spontaneous desires. Prayer is a means by which we get God to do what we want as we are led into conforming to what God wants. The idea of prayer is not in order to get answers from God. Prayer is perfect and complete oneness with God. This happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and our hearts are so in tune with the Lord's that we pray for those things He desires for us. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Romans 8:26-27. The final requirement involved in praying in Jesus' name is submission to Him. Specifically, we must yield to the process of the cross and resurrection. Death and life, sorrow and joy. If we do not submit to this process, we are not submitting to Jesus' name. When God wants to use a man or woman, He lets us know how insufficient we are. He puts us in a place where we realize our insufficiency and our need for Him. As well, He reveals His sufficiency to work things out and give victory in impossible situations. Submission to Jesus allows our sorrows to be turned to joy. So if our prayers and way seem locked up, we need to ask ourselves if we are submitting to Jesus. Are we praying in His name? Answered prayer brings joy. In verse 24, Jesus says, "Until now, you've not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy will be complete." Our lives can be transformed by repeatedly asking in Jesus' name, with the resultant refilling of joy. This is what the disciples experienced, and it has been repeated experience of countless believers down through the centuries. What kind of prayer brings this kind of joy? Prayer in His name, praying in His merit, with a sense of our own unworthiness, praying in His nature, praying according to His will. What kind of prayer brings joy? It is when we become aware of His love for us, of His grace being available to us, and of His seeking us. In Revelation, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So God is ever focused on us, focused on our needs, sees things in advance. He knows every detail of what's going on with us. We're not alone. Often we think that we're facing things alone in life, but God is always aware of what is happening and has a plan. He always has a plan for things that to us are just overwhelming. So we need to come and be attuned to Him and pray, submitting to his sovereign process of transforming sorrow into joy, saying, I yield to you, my sovereign, loving God. This is resurrection joy, victorious joy from the living source. In addition to prayer, our Lord mentions some other factors that bolster joy and peace. In that day, you will ask in my name, the day after he ascends into heaven, and he'll send the Holy Spirit. And then we'll be going through him, having come out from under Adam and his sinful nature, from turning against God to believe the lies of Satan. So we're translated in now into the kingdom of God. And so now that's why we pray in Jesus' name, is he's our federal representative, and we're no longer part of Adam's race. Jesus wants his followers to know that we have a direct relationship to the Father, and that the Father loves us because we love Jesus and believe in him. This knowledge is meant to bring joy and security. There is a threefold technique in getting up. First, we stretch. That gets the body going. Then smile. That puts the soul in the right attitude, so that we don't start the day grumbling and being negative. And then say, God loves me, because that sets the spirit right. You are reminding yourself of your identity in that way. And body, soul, and spirit, you are starting the day right. The Father loves us, and that should always be on our mind, and coming to him when things seem to be contrary. This is what Jesus is saying, and that is the basis of our joy and security. This new dimension of prayer and of its circumstances is displayed throughout the farewell discourse. In the Holy Spirit, Christian prayer is a communion of love with the Father, not only through Christ, but also in him. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Comfort is a divine virtue. Christ the Comforter, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, comfort your heart. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. The Holy Spirit, divine comforter, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Acts 9:31. Comfort from the Scriptures. Through comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Romans 15:4. Victorious joy from belief. Jesus also teaches us there is a relationship between joy and believing. First, he summarizes his mission in verse 28. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. The disciples responded in verses 29 and 30. Then Jesus said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. This is what the disciples said to Jesus. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. They were pleased with themselves. They understood something of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They knew he would transform sorrow into joy. They had listened to his teaching on the new arrangement for prayer. They had just been reassured of God's love, but they did not know that their knowledge was a shallow confidence. So the Lord asked a bigger question. Do you now believe? That is a question we must all face. Do we really believe what Jesus said? That is a key question in relation to his joy transforming process in our lives. Do we believe? And then if we keep pursuing in prayer, we come to believe. And if we keep in the Scriptures, it facilitates our elevating ourselves in faith, gives us a strong spirit. That is the ongoing question. Do you believe, or do I believe, is an ongoing question in respect to his call to joy-giving prayer. Do we believe? That is the constant question. Christ then spoke his final upper room words before his farewell prayer. But a time is coming, he says, and has come when you will be scattered, even to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. These were courageous, audacious words spoken in the face of the demonic hordes that would assault him in the following hours. How could Christ say such things? Because he believed in the process, so he vividly outlined. He believed that his sorrow would be turned to joy. He believed the disciples would sorrow would also turn to joy. He believed that as they prayed in his name, their joy would multiply. He believed that the Father loved them. Even on the cross, he had his eye on what was before him and the joy that would come when we would be redeemed and when he would have acquired us back to him, when the Holy Spirit would be sent and his labor on the cross, the pain, the agony, would be fulfilled with joy. So prayer to Jesus is answered by him already during his ministry through signs that anticipate the power of his death and resurrection. Jesus hears the prayer of faith expressed in words. The leper, Jairus, the Canaanite woman, the good thief, the centurion, or in silence, the bearers of the paralytic, the woman with a hemorrhage who touches his clothes, the tears and ointment of the sinful woman, the urgent request of the blind men, have mercy on us, Son of David, or Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, has been renewed in the traditional prayer to Jesus, known as the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Healing infirmities or forgiving sins, Jesus always responds to a prayer offered in faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Saint Augustine wonderfully summarizes the three dimensions of Jesus' prayer. He says, he prays for us as our priest, prays for us as our head, and is prayed to by us as our God. Therefore, let us acknowledge our voice in him and his in us. Continual comfort is in the face of Jesus, who was marred more than any other man. His benign countenance, loving eyes, gracious presence, and heartfelt messages all exuded comfort. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities and sorrows, he could console as no other could. Did he not declare, I am and my Father are one, John 10:30. His Father revealed himself as the God of all comfort, and he has given us the Holy Spirit, who is also our comforter. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.